We're coming to Acts 27, and we're coming to a very select part of this whole narrative, and that is to the text, verse 25, to these choice words of the apostle to all on board the ship in the midst of the great hour of crisis, in the threat of the Euroclydon hurricane that they were in the midst of in the Mediterranean, just off the island of Melita. If you draw a line from the city of Rome right south, you will find your way to this island that they were crashing upon. And it was at that time that Paul came out on deck. Now, he was the prisoner, but he really comes on as if he is the captain. And he says these words in verse 25. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. Paul on board the ship was as much a prophet as he was on land. He was still God's man with God's message in this most difficult situation. And in all reality, from this point on, he was the man in charge of the vessel. His word was the word that counted, and indeed the word that saved the lives of every man on board. This particular storm was given the name of Euroclydon. Some have referred to it as a typhoon, but it was a whirlwind. A whirlwind in which it was absolutely impossible to manage the ship and steer it in a direct, proper course. And of course, as we read the chapter, we can hear the shouts and the cries of men on board. The ship is out of control. They had tried absolutely every shipping technique to no avail. Now, we've been studying Paul's life, and we want to keep that focus tonight as well. We're not so much interested in storms and ships and sailing and how to escape in the midst of danger and those kind of things. We want to keep our eye on this particular prisoner who becomes the commander. We have seen Paul with his ideals, his ambitions. He says, I must see Rome. He has in mind the great idea that this gospel, this message of Christianity, if it is to take a grip upon the Gentile world, it must be planted very securely and firmly in the very heart of the Roman Empire. And so, as we look chapters back, when he finished up in the city of Ephesus, Paul set his sights upon the city of Rome. He had business in Jerusalem. It was there that he ended up, because of a mob riot, imprisoned for his safety. He's a man on trial. He appeals to Caesar. He is now on board this ship en route to Rome when the storm strikes. Now we wonder, what is this man Paul made of in the hour of crisis? Does he go to pieces? Does God stand with him in the hour of his testing? God does test his servants. God tested Abraham by a most personal and heart-rending test when he called him to go up to Mount Moriah, take Isaac, his only son whom he loved, and slay him as a sacrifice. That was a great test of Abram's obedience and love for God. And of course we know that when he was about to slay his own son, Abram would have gone through with the act. But God intervened and stopped him and rewarded him for his willingness to obey God at the cost of his son. God tested Job with a very severe, lengthy trial. But in the end, he blessed Job's latter end with twice the number of children, twice the animals, servants, and riches. God also tested Moses at the Red Sea. After the victory of delivering Israel out of Egypt, they were entrapped with a mountain one side, a sea before them, and Pharaoh's army coming behind. And Moses was tested. And God said to Moses, "Go forward." That's not easy when on all sides you're trapped. And Moses took the rod and went forward, obeyed God. There will be situations in your life when your faith will be tested. When there is no way out and there is no human answer, and God is leaving you in the midst of that seeming absolute dilemma. And then you will have to say what Paul said. "Be of good cheer, for I believe God." Now in this account, which I'm not going to rehearse because it's such an involved narrative, an exciting story, such an exciting story, you wonder where to start. But we know that Paul becomes the lifeline of every man on board the ship. His word was the word of direction that saved every soul on board. And his hope and confidence became the salvation of crew, passengers, and prisoners. You'll notice what he said, "Be of good cheer." I want to take those words tonight. Be of good cheer. The word of a man of faith. Firstly, look in these verses, and we're going to really restrict ourselves to verses 22 to 25, to the timing of Paul's word of cheer. It was after Paul's previous advice had been rejected. It was after Paul had said, "Do not leave the fair heavens. Do not enter into the high seas from this place of safety, or it will be at great cost." But they wouldn't listen, because the fair heavens was just a little place. And if you look at the verse 12, you will see, "Because the haven was not commodious to enter in." It wasn't big enough for them. It wasn't fancy enough. It wasn't luxurious enough. And they were of the opinion, "We don't want to stay here. This is not much of a place to wait and reside while the winter storms are past. Let's move on." And so they went totally against the witness of Paul. You'll notice also that Paul exhorted they remain in these fair havens because soft wind blew softly. It's very deceptive. In verse 13 it says, "When the south wind blew softly," supposing that they had obtained their purpose, "they looked out far as they could tell, with whatever weather instruments they had, all's clear. Paul said, don't go. But because of the south wind, which to them made them feel all was well and all was safe, and it blew so softly, they would not take the apostles' advice. That's just like the spirit of the world. The world who looks around and feels the warmth and the generosity of life. I don't need to worry. I don't need to be seeking refuge. Life's good to me. So they don't listen to God's word. And then also down in verse 21, you'll notice that Paul had held his tongue in abstinence from speaking for a long time. They had gone through this Euroclidean storm. Verse 16, there was much work to try and save the ship. Verse 17, they used helps. Verse 17 again, they strake sail after they were in the quicksands. Verse 18, they lightened the ship. And when they did everything that they could, the whirlwind was tossing their vessel on the high seas. And during that time, Paul remained silent. They had tried everything. And you'll notice the darkness, the awful, awful darkness. And it says down there in verse 20, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, Paul kept quiet. And when all hope was gone, then Paul spake his word, be of good cheer, for I believe God. The timing of his word of cheer is very important here. And there are times when it's our opportunity to witness to men the message of the gospel. And there's a time to be silent. A time when people won't listen. When the south wind blows softly and all seems so safe to them. And they won't listen. A time when they're doing everything they can in their own power to steer the vessel of life. And they won't stop trying their own way. But when all hope is gone, then it's time to give the word of cheer. And when that time comes, be ready. Be faithful. Have a word ready, that you might have a timely word of witness to some soul that has lost hope. Whatever their trial is, that you might bring that word of cheer. Now, secondly, look at the basis of Paul's word of cheer. It wasn't just a frivolous word, oh, take heart, okay, we'll get through this. Paul had something of substance. He had the Lord's word. He said to them in verse 22, I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Paul had the Lord speaking to him. And the Lord said to him, fear not, Paul, for thou must be brought before Caesar. Now remember, this was Paul's own desire, but it was also the Lord's word to him. Paul had purposed in the spirit that he would see Rome. And the Lord had said to him, away back, Chapter 23:11, be of good cheer, Paul, for thou must see Rome. And here again, the word of God comes to him and said that you shall stand before Caesar. And this was Paul's travel insurance. Right in the midst of all the dangers that he was in, Paul had a word from God that he would get through this storm and he would still one day stand before Caesar. he had this personal word from God. But it meant more than just his own life. You'll see in verse 24 that not only his own life, but all them that sail with thee, everyone on board. And this was the basis of Paul's word of good cheer to the men on ship. There will be no loss of life. Now, how could Paul be sure? Because he said, I believe God. It came down to his acceptance of that word that was given to him. And upon that word, he believed. And he took heart, and he could give cheer to others. And he preached on the deck what God had said to him in the secret of the night. He opened up his heart, and what he took to his own heart with great confidence, through faith, he was able to preach on board. And this is Paul the preacher, declaring in the crisis the message God had given him. And here we see the real Paul. Here we see the real man in a crisis situation. He's a man that still believes God. And he can preach in the tossing and the turning of the ship what God has said to a soul. And you know, that's Paul through and through. That's the real man. Whether he's preaching about the destination of this vessel or he's preaching the doctrines of the gospel, Paul is not preaching his own opinion. He's preaching what God has said. And whether it's the doctrine of justification or the doctrine of resurrection, it's not what is his own opinion. It's what he has received. And if you read Galatians 1, he makes a whole lot that his gospel he did not receive from men, but he received it directly by revelation. And Paul was standing upon what God had taught him and revealed to him. And so this is the real Paul. He is declaring what God has said. Now, that is the way we must witness. That is the way that we must seek to win the world. Our task is not to go and give our opinion. Our task is not to go and deliver what we think. Our task is to go and deliver what God has said and say, I believe God, and call men to believe in that message as well. And so here was the basis for his word of good cheer. He had a very strong, solid basis. You'll notice too that he says that he was the servant of the Lord. Back in verse 23, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. That's it. I am only the messenger. I am not responsible for anything beyond what God has said, whose I am and whom I serve. And therefore he could give this word of good cheer. Now the comfort of Paul's word, which was given to all on board, you will see in the very words of good cheer that every life would be saved. If you go to verse 30, and as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, he was saying to them, there's no need to flee. If you try to flee, you'll lose your lives. Now, there's a bit of rascality going on in verse 30, if you pay attention here. You'll see that these shipmen, these expert sailors, who knew the score more than anybody else, they were the ones that were trying to abandon ship. And they had another lifeboat of some kind that they were lowering down, and they were putting into the sea. And it says at the end of verse 30, under color, as though they would cast anchors out of the foreship. Under color meaning under pretense. And they were trying to sneak out of the main vessel onto the lifeboat and make it to land and just say goodbye to everybody else. Let them perish. These shipmen. And they knew the case was hopeless. Not a chance of us surviving this. And they tried to take off on their own. And it was then that Paul spoke the word, except these abide in the ship, they cannot be saved. And the soldiers cut the ropes to the life vessel, and that game was up. And the shipmen had to stay on board whether they wanted to or not. They had no opportunity of fleeing after that one. Now, what was it that scared off these shipmen? Well, if you look at verse 28, you'll notice that the water was getting more shallow. It says in verse 28 that they sounded and found it 20 fathoms. Now, a fathom, in rough measurement, is this. Stretch of your arms. It is now calculated at 1.82 meters. A fathom. By and large, in less scientific days of sailing, a fathom was this length. So you can imagine that they were sounding, dropping down a rope with a weight, and found it 20 fathoms. And then they went a little further, and they sounded again, and they found it 15 fathoms. So it was getting more shallow, and more shallow, and the next thing, they were going to hit rocks. So these shipmen who knew the score tried to abandon ship. But that whole approach was scuttled by the Apostle Paul. No need to flee. No need to unduly fast either. If you go down to verse 33, they for 14 days had refused food. And Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day. You've tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. And of course, these were superstitious men. They thought the gods of the sea and the gods of the wind were all against them. And by fasting and this approach, that they were trying to appease the gods. And Paul said, I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. He was trying to tell them, be of good cheer, eat up. And you'll notice in verse 36 that they did take food, and they were all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And so Paul was a comforter to everyone on board. He brought hope to men who had no hope. He brought assurance to men who saw nothing but black clouds and boiling seas. That's a man of faith. A man of faith amongst men that knew nothing of God. This is the Apostle Paul. This is the man who stands in the midst as a messenger from God to bring great cheer and comfort. And then in verse 42, you'll find that there was no need to kill the prisoners. When the ship did fall into the creek and rocks and was being broken up, there was the proposal that they should kill all the prisoners, lest they swim away and find freedom. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, notice the respect that there was to Paul here. Earlier on, the Julius, as he was called, away back there at early part of chapter 27, when he was brought onto the ship at first, that he entreated Paul courteously. Paul was a man that even though he was a prisoner on board, He had an aura. He had a standing and a stature that Roman centurions respected. And now that all that he had said and the cheer and the comfort that he had brought, this centurion sought to save Paul's life. And then the end of the story, verse 44, that all were saved. They all got to land. The ship was broken up, but everyone's life was completely saved. Now, how glad these sailors, passengers, and prisoners on board should have been that they had a man of God as Paul with them. And literally, we can say that Paul was the instrument of God to save their lives. God blesses the wicked because of the righteous. I want you to notice this here. God could not destroy these sailors with Paul on board because Paul must see Rome. He must stand before Caesar. It's a situation that God, like God, could not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah while they were righteous living in the city. Why is that? Because the Christian is the salt of the earth. The Christian is what preserves the wicked from perishing and destruction. The Christian is the savor of life in this world. And God uses the life of his people in this world to keep the world in check. Now, next to loving God, the first duty of a Christian is to bring peace and goodwill to men. And you can see Paul at work in this. And here is our work. Maybe it's your work for tomorrow. Maybe it's your work for this week that is ahead. Whenever we meet a person in trouble, not just spiritual trouble, but any kind of trouble, you can be used of God to help that person and comfort them in any kind of trouble. And we as Christians need to learn the art. We need to learn the grace of encouraging and comforting the weary, the weak, the troubled, and those that are filled with care in this life. And there are many that are filled with despair and hopelessness that don't know where to turn. And just as Paul found, there's a time when you can't say anything. There's a time when people won't listen. But there are those times when people are in such turmoil and trouble that they will listen and they will receive that word of counsel and even the word of the gospel. A little child can be used of God to comfort someone in great sorrow. I read of a little girl who came home to her mother and said, "Mother, I stopped with Widow Brown, for she said that I comforted her soul." And her mother said, "I dare say you did, dear." And the girl said, "Mother, I do not understand how I could be of any comfort or any use to her, for I cannot tell her anything. But I put my cheek against hers when she cries. And I cry too. And she says that that comforts her." That's the innocence of a child. And there are those in this life that just need a kind word, that just need a friend, a word of hope, a word of cheer, a word of encouragement through a dark patch of life. And here is Paul on board this ship, a great example to us. One man on board who knew his God, and God was speaking to him. And as God was speaking to him, he could speak to the others, "Be of good cheer, for I believe God." And so we take this example to heart. Let no one ever say, "No man cared for my soul." We need to comfort God's people and be a comforter in the midst of a world of sorrow. There are many Christians that know loneliness. There are many of God's people that are cast down, and they need a friend and a helper. You say, "I can't preach, I can't do much." Well, you can just speak a kindly word. You can come and say, "Look, I've read my Bible today and the Lord encouraged me. And I'd like to just read you what I found to be a great encouragement to my heart." And the Lord can use that in a wonderful personal way. And you could be just like Paul standing on ship in a person's darkness of life, a messenger of hope, bringing that word of counsel. And the last thing that we want to be known for is a bearer of ill tidings, a discourager. The last thing that we want to be is the opposite to Paul. Paul, he said to them, "You should have listened to me. You left the fair havens when in the south wind was blowing softly, and I told you, you shouldn't have left Crete. But it wasn't good enough for you." Oh, Paul could have rubbed it in. Paul could have just hit them over the head with all the negatives that he could find. But no, he said, "Be of good cheer. I believe God." And that's the kind of Christian, that's the kind of encourager that you and I need to be. Yes, there's a time to put a person right about where they went wrong. But we need also to be bringing them that word of hope that will lead them in the paths of blessing and encouragement that will see them to safety. Just think of it. One man on board that knew his God, that really was the instrument of saving all. How he was greatly used. And God can use you in your family, in your circle of friendships, in all the crises that arise, and make you that voice of hope in darkness. Let's unite together in prayer and ask the Lord just to use us, even in the week that is before us, that we might be an encourager to someone in need. Our God and Father, we have looked into your word here tonight. We have found your servant Paul, a man of faith in the midst of danger and in the midst of great crisis and fear for others. We thank thee that you made him a messenger of cheer and hope. And oh God, we rejoice that your word to him filled his heart and made him a guide and a strength to others. We pray that thou wilt take our lives, each one. And Lord, make us that encourager to precious souls. Perhaps there's one soul cast down, wondering which way to turn, that they need that word of exhortation and encouragement. We pray that thou wilt lead our pathways, guide us, direct us, give us the right words. And Lord, grant that our life of faith and our joy of countenance, even without words, will cause others to take hope. O God, let us live that life of faith to be a light, a lamp, and a guide to the many that sit in darkness. We pray for your blessing. We pray for your grace. We pray for your Spirit to be upon us in the week before. Remember those that have tasted of bereavement. We pray for the comfort of the Spirit of God. We pray for those that have known bitter disappointment. O Lord, we pray that Thou wilt make them to know that Thou art the all-wise God who worketh all things according to Your purpose for our good. We pray, O Lord, that Thou wilt help us to rejoice and that You will bring us home safely to glory. O God, we thank Thee that we shall see the King and we shall shout and sing in that new Jerusalem. And so now fill our mouths with praises and bless us this evening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.